Hello, 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 guys, and welcome back to this week's episode of the Health and Wellness Connection TV show. I want to thank you guys for joining us again. I am your host, Dr. Barry Iruke, and again, I want to thank you guys for just tuning in, you know, regularly, and we appreciate all the love and the support we're getting. Definitely, guys, don't forget to also check out the podcast in case you can't check out the TV show, and we have linked up, obviously, at the end of the show. But again, thanks for just sticking with us, you know, appreciating all the work we're putting into the show to make sure we give you, you know, that information that you're looking at getting. So, guys, today's episode, of course, we're going to hit all the big highlights, some of the latest health and wellness news in the media as of late. But first things first, I should say, we're going to talk, of course, about the current pandemic. So, of course, guys, you know, the pandemic is still a thing and it's still raging. Now, there's great news in that we see some great decreases in some of the deaths rates that we've been, you know, reporting on previously, as well as, you know, some countries still definitely having significant issues with new infections and really not doing too well. So overall, it's a very kind of fluid situation, but there's some really good numbers moving in the right direction. So we have a top five, obviously, we hit every week, you know, to tell you the top countries that are really big as far as, you know, some of the latest coronavirus news. Number one, obviously, is the USA. That's still, you know, been really reigning as far as a top nation for a while now, but there's other countries that are quick on its heels. We're going to talk about that in a bit. Now, USA is number one, but about 40,000 cases currently as far as daily new cases, and only at about 400 or so deaths. So actually doing pretty good in that regard. Now, the U.S. still has a top total number of cases with about 33 million total, so that's why it still keeps it at one spot. But the other countries that are quickly approaching the numbers on its heels. Now, the second country is India. India, again, has really been considered currently the epicenter of the pandemic during this kind of April-May period, with just soaring numbers of deaths and soaring numbers of new infection on a daily basis. Now, there was some criticism that the Indian government, Prime Minister Modi, had faced for apparently prematurely reopening the country, and it's believed that due to these, you know, premature, you know, reopening measures that he instituted has led to a lot of people commingling, causing the virus to spread, leading to some of these really, really extremely elevated rates we're seeing on the Indian continent. Number one, they have about almost 400,000 cases per day of new cases. They're averaging about 4,000 deaths per day. So, you know, quite a bit of death and destruction going on due to COVID in the Indian nation. There's a huge effort internationally now to get support and supplies, especially after reports of hospitals, you know, not having enough oxygen, causing patients to die, and other, you know, travesties that are going on as a result of the COVID numbers kind of overwhelming the medical system in the Indian nation. So we're going to keep looking at those numbers, and hopefully, you know, some of these new measures, especially things that they've done to try to improve the vaccination rates, because we have seen some significantly improved numbers in rates of deaths in those nations that have high vaccination rates. And we'll talk about that in a minute. So, yes, India's going through it. Numbers are still very high, but, you know, with the current push to get more of Indians vaccinated, as well as to reinstitute those measures to keep folks, you know, separated, that can hopefully reduce some of these accelerations we're seeing in their numbers. Three is Brazil. They're, again, number three as far as number infected total and covered and deceased, about with 14 million. They're averaging about 36,000 new cases per day and about 1,000 deaths per day. So the Brazilian nation is only a nation of 200 million people, so they are definitely getting a very high level of infections and death as a result as well. They also had a very lackadaisical approach toward the COVID virus, and as a result had a very significant spread of the virus throughout their population. This has resulted in fears that there's new variants also developing, like there are fears that there are new variants developing in the Indian population. So, you know, that's been the big thing about this kind of pandemic. And as the virus is allowed to persist, variants of the virus start to mutate and are developed. And some are feared to be more contagious, more virulent, meaning more deadly to the host. And just an overall, you know, harder virus to deal with. So the goal throughout this entire drive, especially when it comes to vaccinations, is to help reduce the spread of the virus so that you have decreased mutation resulting in decreased variants and so forth. So that's kind of the whole brunt of this whole vaccination drive. So we're going to talk more about that as well in a bit. But again, Brazil still in the top three, still in the top five, I should say, at the number three spot. And yeah, they're going through it. So France is actually, you know, they actually are rising now. They were kind of a little lower. Riquet has fallen. France has kind of taken that spot. They're averaging about, they have about 5.6 million total cases throughout the country. They're averaging about 300 or so, about 4,000 deaths, 4,000 new cases per day, I should say, and about 300 deaths per day. So, France, smaller nation, about 65 million people. So, those numbers, while low compared to other larger nations, are very high as a percentage when compared to their total population. So, you know, France definitely, you know, they're still instituting very strict measures. You know, a lot of travel has been reduced. You know, they're also pushing for vaccinations. And it's one thing that's going on in the EU is that there has been a very low uptick in the total vaccination efforts in a lot of these nations. There's some issues with some of the vaccines that they actually went after, especially the AstraZeneca vaccine, which has been on hold. That was one of the big vaccines that was being pushed by many nations and in the EU. And due to some medical issues that was found with the AstraZeneca, we've mentioned on a previous show that there was increased levels of clotting and complications, causing a lot of nations to stop administering the vaccine to its population, resulting in even increased demand on some of the other better tolerated vaccines like the Pfizer and the Moderna and even the Johnson & Johnson. So there's been a lot of kind of vaccine politics, if you will. So as a result, a lot of EU nations have actually been under vaccinating their populations. And there's also a healthy amount of vaccine hesitancy like there is here in the United States and other nations, resulting in decreased uptick in the vaccinations. This is believed to cause is to be causing them to have the persistent elevated levels of new infections and whatnot that we're seeing in some of these EU nations. Turkey is actually number five with about 24,000 or so new cases per day, about 300 or so deaths per day. So the Turkish nation, you know, still moderately sized, but still, you know, doing what it can to kind of minimize risk. But they have actually been rising lately, and it's believed that, you know, hopefully it will reduce the, they'll have increased control as they institute more strict measures to reduce people spreading the virus. So, all right, so that was the top five. You know, Turkey's new entrant, Russia and UK actually fell off that top five. So, you know, for a myriad of reasons, I'm sure those nations are seeing decreased numbers, resulting in, you know, hopefully improvement in the COVID spread population. So a new study recently has just dropped that showed that the Pfizer and the Moderna vaccine specifically are 94% effective at preventing hospitalization in older adults. Now, this study is very unique because they looked at older adults 65 and up, and they kind of saw, you know, what happened to people in this population who had been vaccinated and kind of saw how they progressed as far as if they did develop COVID, you know, how did they progress? Did they die? Did they get sick? Did they go to ICU? And, you know, they looked at a lot of different old data as well as some other, you know, current ongoing, you know, studies. And what they found is that, in their small study, which is about 400 patients, they looked at these patients as they were admitted to 24 different hospitals in 14 states. This occurred between the period of January 1st through March 26th. Now, they found that these people who had been vaccinated, who had been admitted, almost nobody had any very significant complications. You know, and it's very, you know, sobering news that if nearly all the patients, 94% of those who were vaccinated, who then contracted COVID, there was very little severe illness. Most people had a mild illness and were quickly discharged. So it showed that the vaccines are working, especially in the at-risk populations like those 65 years and up. Now, the thing is that the key about the study was that people who had been vaccinated had to have been vaccinated at least about 2 weeks prior to getting an infection. Those who had been vaccinated fully now, only after 1 week or less, actually developed a normal series of COVID symptoms and a normal duration of COVID infection. Those who had at least 2 weeks from their last dose of either the Pfizer or Moderna, meaning you needed two right to be fully vaccinated. One vaccine is believed to only give about 70% immunity, but two vaccinations of either the Pfizer or Moderna is believed to give at least 94-95% immunity. So it was found that those who developed those or received those two shots essentially had a 94% reduction in severe illness. So phenomenal result, and this is something we're seeing actually as the numbers play out. We talked about the United States, how it's number one, but one thing that's very clear in the United States numbers is that the deaths are really significantly dropping. LA County is one of the hardest states hit during this entire pandemic, especially January, which is one of the busiest months for that part of the country as far as people getting sick from COVID. LA County had one of the highest rates of new infections, deaths, and this is really, very tough going about it. Now, one thing about California, and I will say that I've met a lot of the people on ground, especially those who are actually working hard to keep those who are truly infected, in a safe environment. They're doing a lot of work to help, especially the homeless population they have out there, making sure they're taken care of, and also getting them isolated if they are sick. And that's one thing the state of LA County especially has worked hard to really reduce. Now, it seems that we're seeing some of the benefits of that in some of these recent reports of death and ICU and severe illness we're seeing in the LA County area. Now, one thing that is one of the shining aspects of the response to COVID in the LA County area is that there has been a very strong push to get everyone vaccinated. There's multiple open sites, multiple venues that people can go and get their vaccine in the LA County area. And this has resulted in about 54% of the residents over the age of 16 having received a vaccine, at least one dose, in the LA County area by the end of April. So it's believed that because of this, we're now appreciating some of these benefits in that we have significant drops in the death and infections rate that we are seeing currently in this period of May. This is while there's actually a spring pandemic going on in many parts of the country, of the globe. It's believed that, from the strong push to get people vaccinated to the making available resources to house and quarantine individuals who may not be able to separate but are still having symptoms to reduce the spread, and other measures that have been instituted in the LA County area has helped benefit some of the residents and helped significantly reduce the spread of COVID. So hats off to LA and LA County working hard to reduce some of the spread. Now, unfortunately, other parts of the globe aren't as lucky as California is currently, because we're seeing that other states, like we mentioned before, India is having the exact opposite. They're having just crushing numbers of new infections, out of deaths. This is resulting in hospitals running out of supplies, running out of oxygen, running out of all of the critical things necessary to take care of these sick patients who are succumbing or having these infections. Now, one thing that has been also pushed in the Indian country is vaccinations. The government has tried to get people vaccinated. Their penetration could have been better. I think the last reports I read was about 50% of the population in India has been vaccinated, but there are significant pushes to get more and more vaccinations in people's arms as their new infection rates and deaths soar. Now, that being said, there has been some issues getting people vaccinated due to issues getting the vaccine produced at a fast enough clip, as well as other countries who are also using Indian resources to produce their vaccines are also, trying to get their vaccines out. Meanwhile, the Indian government is working to maybe keep those vaccines in the country because of their ongoing crush of new patients. Now, this whole push with vaccinations and getting people vaccinated, along with the crush of new infections seen in the Indian pandemic, has resulted in new travel restrictions being pushed onto travelers coming to and fro the Indian nation. It's believed that from May 4th and going forward, there will be, again, restrictions on people's ability to travel from the United States to the Indian nation. Of course, it's been met with some criticism, but many people believe that doing this would help stem the tide of spread of new infections, especially as the vaccination push is continuing. Well, as May develops, the United States is actually doing a lot of work to kind of get things back to normal. Cities and businesses all over the globe are actually starting to relax measures, now encouraging businesses to open, restaurants to return to close to full capacity, and large events to resume. It's believed that this is possible due to the push of mass vaccinations being made currently by the Biden administration. It's believed that over 50% of the U.S. population now has received at least one dose of the vaccine and now is readily available to be vaccinated wherever you choose. Now, it's believed that anyone who wants to be vaccinated can do it. And it's now honestly an issue of potentially there being some apathy toward getting the vaccines and it's now leading to unnecessary waste. But we're going to talk about that in 1 second. But back to the regulation of the city, like for instance, New York City, NYC, they are going to expand to 75% capacity allowed in indoor dining starting May 7th. This is, you know, been stated by Governor Andrew Cuomo. There's also other, you know, big things we're seeing in the travel industry. Delta's about to allow people to sit in the middle seat again. They're expecting huge booms in travel and people moving around. Disney California, they're going to actually lift their allowance as far as people who are allowed to visit a park past 25% mark. So everyone's going to be at Disneyland, obviously, with these new restrictions as well as the international travel restrictions in place. So it's going to be a busy summer. And the companies and different corporations are preparing for that. Even the teams are getting back to the swing of things. They're saying that, for instance, the Atlanta Braves, they're going to be back at 100% capacity at their game starting in May. And it's now, you know, kind of they're trying to push people back to the normal activities given the, you know, economic issues that many companies are facing. This is all predicated on the fact that the United States is one of the more vaccinated nations in the globe now. But over 100 million citizens believed to be vaccinated. 100 million citizens are at least fully vaccinated, and there's even more who have gotten only one shot. So, so that being said, you know, the vaccinations are the best way for us to resume normal activity. So yes, there are some issues out there. People have fears, and that's understandable. But there's proof now that we know the vaccines are working. We're seeing the death rates drop. We're seeing the elderly survive their infections now when they were succumbing very commonly to this infection. So get vaccinated, guys. How long the vaccinations will be effective, that's still something being figured out. But we are seeing drops in these new infections, so we know there are some improvements in the COVID pandemic, and we can thank a lot of that to, you know, vaccinations, in addition to, you know, mask mandates and, you know, people just being cleaner. I'm sure people aren't, you know, people used to be all kind of disrespectful, sneeze in their hand, shake people's hands, not wash hands coming out the toilet. That's highly offensive now. So I think some of these, you know, measures of people being more clean, do what they can to kind of minimize excessive contact has helped even so much as so that flu is almost eradicated, guys. So that's one benefit of this, these precautions. We don't really have a lot of flu going on anymore. And because flu is not as contagious as COVID. So for some reason, these measures that have used to help minimize COVID have almost eradicated the flu. So hats off to everybody for, you know, doing that. So we keep this going. But yes, the COVID vaccine numbers are definitely improving. And we're moving in the right direction, guys. So let's keep up the fight. Hopefully, very soon, we're going to be back to, you know, doing whatever the heck we want. You know, masks, you know, will be a distant memory. And we'll keep pushing, you know what I'm saying? Because that's what it's about, guys. We got to keep pushing forward. All these issues are typically temporary. Time usually fixes most issues. That's just the way life works a lot of times. So we stay alive is the goal, and we move, right? All right, so next story. Pfizer, we talk about the vaccines and how they're making people, you know, do better. Well, some people are eating really well off that. That includes, Pfizer. Pfizer earned approximately $3.5 billion on the COVID-19 vaccine in the first quarter. All right, now, before all the conspiracy theorists are saying, I told you so, here's the reality. You know, Pfizer is one of the few companies that actually are making the vaccine for profit. Johnson & Johnson and Moderna have actually agreed to not make a profit out of the vaccine. So if you're someone who's anti-profit, then you may want to consider Moderna or the Johnson & Johnson. But the Pfizer vaccine has actually done exceptionally well as far as side effect profile. And as a result, it's one of the highest demand vaccines globally. Again, many nations, including the European Union, other nations all across the globe are now seeking the Pfizer as they believe it is a superior vaccine. And as a result, the Pfizer vaccine has gone up in demand quite a bit, like we said, globally. Now, Pfizer, they expect to manufacture about 2.5 billion doses in 2021 and then an additional 3 billion doses in 2022. So they believe that because of the demand that, you know, they're going to try to pump out as much as they can. And they think they can meet it. Now, obviously, there's been a lot of, you know, concern because, you know, Pfizer's making so much money. They said they're going to make about $3.5 billion in the first three quarters. They believe they're going to make about $26 billion for the whole year of 2021. And it's saying that now people are concerned that Pfizer just focused on the money. Now, that's a lot of money to ignore. I can't even deny that. But here's the reality. This is a pandemic. People are sick. The goal really should be getting as many people vaccinated as possible, not making cash. And, of course, Pfizer often disagrees. But this new kind of revelation has led a lot of people to start pushing for Pfizer to release their techniques and their, you know, proprietary information as far as how they create their vaccine to help get the vaccine made in higher numbers in many parts of the globe to help get more and more people vaccinated to avoid unnecessary death. Pfizer is still pushing back and they're still in negotiations, but currently Pfizer is not interested in giving out their secret sauce for their vaccine, and unfortunately, you know, it's going to have to be a situation where they're going to have to produce them as much as they can. But that being said, there are some issues that Pfizer may have, and that relates to our next story. So guys, that relates to our next story. We're talking about Pfizer making money, and that money, you know, definitely is being made, but the reality is that there are a lot of vaccines being wasted. CVS and Walgreens, right, they have reported that together they have wasted approximately 128,000 doses of the vaccines that they carry. Now, this happens because the way the vaccines are stored, right, once that bottle is opened, the vaccine must be entirely used in a period of 24 hours. So when you have a period of people coming in, lining up, and then someone who walks in there, gets their dose, and that's the last one for the day, and you have one vial that can actually usually treat about six people. So that one vial may have one or two people have used it. There's about four doses left because they can store it without it, you know, losing its integrity. They have to trash it. This happens over months at a time, resulting in hundreds of thousands of wasted doses. Now, this, of course, is an issue that, you know, is obviously they're trying to mitigate it, but when you have people coming in and maybe making appointments and not keeping them, or, you know, people are just, you know, expecting a certain amount of people to show up, vaccines are being prepped, people don't show up, vaccines didn't have to be trashed, resulting in a lot of wasted vaccines. This is especially heartbreaking as we see other nations who are fighting to get the little vaccines that they can get, and they're kind of having a lot of red tape, and they're actually having to, you know, go without, resulting in increased death and morbidity in these various nations. And yet here in the United States, there's vaccines being wasted. So I encourage everybody, guys, you know, definitely go and get the vaccine if it's available to you. Now, all Americans can get it pretty much at your local CVS, Walgreens, or any other local establishment. If you're a high-risk individual, obviously you probably should have been already vaccinated by now. However, if you're a young person, especially if you're a young person who lives with high-risk people, you should definitely be getting it as well. So again, guys, you know, things are doing what they should be doing. We're moving in the right direction. Numbers are looking lovely. And, you know, let's keep doing what we're doing, guys, because I think we can get to the end of this thing if we get everybody properly vaccinated and we reduce some of these, you know, mutations we're seeing to help reduce this pandemic duration. All right, guys? All right, guys, this is the last story of the day. We're talking about travel and giving some travel tips, how to move during this pandemic summer travel season. We all know that people have been cooped up for about a year and a half now. Folks are ready to hit the road. They're about to hit the sky. Getting vaccinated, ready to hit the road, and they're looking to make sure they do what's safest, you know, as they move about. So I'm going to give some tips. Now, these are all from the CDC, so if you think the CDC is out to kill you, they want to stop the tape. However, the CDC definitely has done a lot of research as far as things that have been known to increase the risk of transmission. We've all known travel is a high-risk activity, but there have been a lot of measures instituted that are believed are significantly reducing the transmission risk. And some extra things you should be doing as you hit the road to ensure that you and your family are as safe as possible. Now, first things first, if you're vaccinated, you're actually good to go. The CDC has officially stated that people who are fully vaccinated don't need to wear masks, don't need to actually take too many precautions, because the vaccination should keep you relatively safe from the COVID variants that we know exist. So, you know, fully vaccinated people are less likely to get sick from COVID, so you're actually free to do whatever you want, even despite if you're older or younger, or even if you have illnesses. Now, you may get, you know, in some other issues that cause you morbidity and mortality, because, you know, COVID is not the only thing that can hurt you when you're traveling. You may get mugged by a regular criminal where you're going to. Who knows? But at least COVID won't be your issue. So let's be happy for that. Now, the thing about also the CDC is recommending is that, you know, people who are not vaccinated, they actually have two sets of recommendations for the vaccinated and those who are not vaccinated. Now, if you're vaccinated, they're pretty much let you do whatever you want for the most part. They're not even recommending you wear a mask anymore. So even though there's still a soft recommendation in place, it's kind of being hinted that masks aren't something you really need to have to wear if you are fully vaccinated. Now, for those who are not vaccinated, the rules are a little bit more stringent. They're recommending that you at least, you know, be wearing a mask. You definitely should be maintaining 6 feet of distance. You also should definitely be You know, reducing your exposure to those who are sick. And if you are definitely sick, coughing and so forth, you should definitely pretty much not travel just to reduce the risk of transmission. Now, one thing that I forgot to mention, fully vaccinated people should be doing as well. You know, like I said, there's a soft recommendation for wearing masks. You also need to be staying at least 6 feet if you can to, and avoid crowds because, again, it's still a soft recommendation. And you want to still be washing your hands or use hand sanitizer. Now, if you're unvaccinated, that's where it gets a little more complicated. CDC is still recommending those who travel and you're unvaccinated should definitely wearing your mask, like we said, washing, you know, wash your hands, stay 6 feet. But you also want to quarantine at your destination for at least a week to make sure you're not having any symptoms. One thing that has been a big issue with the COVID restrictions is that quarantining has been instituted as something that must be done by those who are traveling. Now, to help your case, if you're someone who's not interested in quarantining, you want to get at least a negative COVID test 3 days prior to travel. So if you have a negative COVID test, some countries will waive the quarantine requirement. Other countries are still making you do it. Even some states like Hawaii, for instance, still requires quarantining, negative tests or not. This is one of the safest ways to make sure that you do not bring anything to the virus, especially in the Asian continent as well. I know Thailand, Singapore, a lot of strict quarantine requirements in those areas. Africa as well, a lot of nations also are imposing strict quarantines. So if you're not vaccinated, you definitely want a negative COVID test for everyone who's in your party traveling, because that will help, you know, reduce those requirements, but you still may expect it to quarantine. So you want to, which leads to our next point, you want to check the recommendations of where you're headed, guys, because every place is different, every country is different, every state is different. So, you know, if you're in the United States traveling, you may have different restrictions depending on where you're going. If you're going internationally, you may not even be allowed to leave or come in without certain paperwork. Big one is a COVID test. I encourage everyone to get at least a negative test. If you're not vaccinated, it will help reduce some of your problems as you're traveling. And then lastly, people who are fully vaccinated, you know, like I said, there's still a soft recommendation to wear a mask and stay 6 feet and have hand sanitizer available. But again, the key difference is that if you are vaccinated, there's no need to quarantine. It's believed that you're actually safe despite travel to, you know, still move about without the risk of spreading COVID. If you're unvaccinated, you're going to definitely have to be considering quarantine and having negative tests to and fro. So those are the big things, guys. So you want to make sure you're doing that, making those tests available or getting your vaccination, which I support and recommend because that's the easiest way to move about and it will help reduce a lot of wahala when you're on the road, which you don't want because no one wants to be held up somewhere because of a COVID issue, which is definitely a realistic possibility. So, yeah, so that being said, guys, that's the end of this week's show. I want to thank you guys for joining us today on this week's episode of the Health and Wellness Connection TV show. We're going to talk a lot of exciting topics here in a few weeks, so stay tuned for the different shows we got coming up. We got some guests coming up as well and some exciting announcements. So, again, I'm your host, Dr. Barry, guys. Don't forget to check me out on Instagram at DrBarryMD. Also, check us out on Facebook, www.facebook.com/NextLevelWeightLoss. And last but not least, you can check out the podcast if you want to get the audio version of today's show and some of the other past shows as well. www.anchor.fm/HW Connection. Again, it's your host, Dr. Barry. Thanks for tuning in. I will check you, and hopefully, you'll be checking me next time.